Elizabeth Evans, and I'm a homeschooling mom of four young kids. I'm figuring this out as I go, but I'm here to talk to Bonnie, who has been writing and speaking on the subject for over a decade and has been homeschooling for three decades.
My name's Bonnie Landry. I've got seven kids. They're ages 13 to 33. I've been homeschooling for 29 years. I'm a wife, a mom, a grandma. I'm a speaker and a writer, and I'm an advocate of joy. So we're here to provide this podcast so that homeschooling can look like you imagined it to be.
You ready for another episode?
I'm ready for another episode. Yeah, I'm excited about this one. Actually, the last episode was a huge traction. It was really, really amazing. And on YouTube as well, there was lots of views on YouTube. So that was really, really interesting because I thought, okay, something, you know, we lack order and organization.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Today's episode, I think, you know, we discussed some of the questions will be sort of helpful in that regard as well. So just for people who are listening, Elizabeth and I usually don't discuss the questions. I submit the questions to Elizabeth. She sort of groups them how she thinks is most appropriate. And I answer them because I think I actually answer things better off the cuff. So that's what we usually do. But this time we sort of discuss the questions because I was wondering if this topic would be good for discussion purposes, right? So anyway, yeah, so we'll see how that goes. So if I start rambling, just, you know, give me a thumbs up or something.
These series of questions all come from the same person, and it has to do with the learning plans that different states require. And I looked at it and it's overwhelming. So for all of you moms and dads out there who have to follow learning plans, oh, bless you.
I know. So I'll just maybe for those who are new to homeschooling, I think it would be worthwhile sort of explaining what a learning plan is. Mm-hmm. So if we can take a moment to do that. Basically, depending, education is not federal, okay? It's provincial or state. In Canada, same thing. It's provincial. In the States, it's by state. So each state develops their own rules about education and therefore about homeschooling. In many places, the laws or the requirements around homeschooling are very easy. And in some places, they're definitely more challenging and probably more stress-inducing to parents. And so the questions that we got from our listener was, you know, kind of asking about, well, how do I go about this? If I want to approach education in this Socratic way, how do I go about this? So I'll just sort of define then what a learning plan is so that you understand, listeners understand. Some places where the requirements are higher, they want to see at the beginning of the year, they want to see kind of a plan for each student for the year of what you're going to cover. So an outline of what you're going to cover and, or, you know, or a syllabus, that might be another way of saying it, right? What are you going to cover in each area? And they're also, in this case, they're making recommendations, which is actually, you know, even though it looks overwhelming, that's actually helpful because then you know, okay, I have something I can actually check. They're not just saying, what's your learning plan? You actually have recommendations for what they expect to see in a learning plan, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's also some reporting required in this particular circumstance so that they have to submit not only their learning plan, but, you know, quarterly through the year or whatever, depending on the area, of course, that you're in. But usually it would be 3 to 4 times a year that you would submit samples of your kids' work. Sometimes that's weekly. Okay, so, you know, usually you're working with a teacher and they're saying, okay, I need to see what they're doing in writing. I need to see what they're doing in art. So a learning plan is going to sort of be an overarching idea of what you're trying to accomplish this year. Okay, so in BC where I live, we have two options. We have two streams, and this is the same in other places as well, where we can get money, we can get tax money for our kids' education to the tune of anywhere from say $500 to $1,500 a year to use towards educational things. But then we're also required to stick a little more closely to the BC curriculum, okay, the sort of school curriculum. And we also have to report, we have to you know, submit portfolios and whatnot. Okay. So the teacher that you have that's attached to your particular program is going to be, you know, in varying degrees, helpful or not helpful for you to produce what you need to produce for the government to give you the money that you want, right? Mm-hmm. The other stream that we have in BC is really completely up to us. So we don't get money. We also have no contact, no teacher applied to our program. We don't submit anything. Okay. So we, BC almost in a sense represents the two extremes of what could be expected of us, right? So, so if you want to sort of approach her with her questions that she submitted, that would be great.
Yeah. And this woman, her name is Kristen. And the first question was that we wanted to talk about was, what is a learning plan? So of course you just answered that. So the next question, the follow-up would be, how do I meet the requirements or prove that I've met the requirements for what the state has outlined?
Right. Okay. So to put her question into context, she was really attracted to what I promote. Okay. So literature-based learning, organic learning, Socratic discussion, those are the things that she is really looking at and saying, okay, then how do I take this sort of organic approach to education and translate that into that which the government would like to see. Okay. So I think that we get more adept at translation the longer we homeschool. Okay. So some things become very obvious and, you know, you get more relaxed about jotting things down. But I think that where this is useful to people is that most of us to some degree want a plan for the year. Okay. And even though I have very little plan, I do have a skeleton plan for our family. And so what I'm going to talk about sort of how to make that translation or make that transition from, you know, what it is these people want from me to, you know, getting that down on paper and producing it in some format that is palatable to the powers that be is really the same process as us developing our own plan for the year for ourselves. Okay. So whether it's being imposed on you or whether it's your choice that you would like to see some sort of plan in place, I think in a sense it's the same process. So I'm just going to say this from the outset. I'm going to be showing some things because I sort of have developed some samples of things over the years of what that can look like. And so essentially I'll show them. So those of you who are watching on YouTube are going to see that. Those of you who are listening via the podcast, if you check my Instagram after this has been published, I'll have the pictures of what I'm talking about on Instagram. Okay. So I think there's a couple of different moving parts to how we make that sort of plan happen. Okay. So one of them is, okay, her plan, I think that it's important to put together like sort of a book or a duotang. Okay. So I'm just holding up to Elizabeth here, a duotang that just says, this is a sample one school year, 2015, 2016. Okay. So what did that look like? All right. So in the back of that, whatever my state or province requirements are, I've just printed out the screenshots that that Kristen had sent me that lists off all the things that they're expecting of her. So I'm just going to read out a couple of them. I won't read the whole thing because it'll take too long. But it says content in her state, it's called an individualized home instruction plan, IHIP. Okay. They're called different things in different places. So what they're talking about is a plan for the year per child. So basic information, the child's name, age, grade level, lists a list of the syllabi, curriculum materials, textbooks, or a plan of instruction to be used in each of the required subjects listed in subdivision C of this section. Okay. So then it goes through sort of the rules of what they're supposed to do by this. And then the names of individuals providing instruction. So, you know, we don't have to get too worried about that. The reason I want this in my plan, okay, I'm just putting it at the back of my duotang, I'm showing that to Elizabeth, is that during the course of the year, maybe three or four times, I actually just cross-reference what we're doing with this to make sure that we've checked the boxes off. Okay. So the easiest way to do that is just have the thing printed off and have it in your sort of planning book for the year. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's telling you here for grades 1 to 6, these are the subjects they want to see covered. Okay. Arithmetic, reading, spelling, writing, English language, geography, US history, science, health education, music, visual arts, physical education, bilingual education, and or English as a second language where need is indicated. Okay. So a couple of thoughts here. First of all, you don't have to do all those things at once. All right. What they want to see is some instruction in each of those things. So you don't have to be doing all of those things all year round from grades 1 to 6. Okay. But at some point in time, obviously there's some things that are your normal course of study. You're going to do math. You're going to do language arts. You're going to read. You're going to do spelling. You're going to do, geography inherent in what you're doing. You're not going to study United States history every year. Okay, but if you cover it from grades 1 to 6, really, these are pretty cushy parameters that you have to work with. Okay, so maybe you think, okay, my kid, I'm just starting out, so I'm going to get my feet on the ground with homeschooling first, and we'll study US history maybe in grade 4, 5, or 6. Okay, sometime grades 1 to 6, I need to cover that. Okay, so you don't have to do it every year. That's not the point. But they want to see it done. So they're giving you a 6-year window to accomplish that. So that's actually pretty good. And then it goes into grade 7, 8. What kinds of things do we want to see for grade 7, 8? And then for grades 9 through 12. So I'm going to sort of focus on the younger grades for the moment. And a statement that the child will be meeting the compulsory education requirements. Okay. Through full-time study at a degree-granting institution. So what they're saying is that language they're using sounds a bit terrifying. What they're saying is that they want to see a similar course of study to what a child is going to be learning in school, okay? Kind of a well-rounded education. Now we would, when we look at the education system in its best light, and I think we should do that. We are want the education system presumably wants what we want, our kids to have a well-rounded education. Okay. So that's kind of what we're looking at in this plan. So a little bit sitting down and actually unpacking this and what does it actually mean is an important part of the process, because that I could feel very stressed out if I thought I had to do that with my 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. I had to do all that stuff this year. Okay. Right. So when at the beginning of a year, I always write out, and I'm not attached to any kind of a plan or program or whatever. We've definitely taken the no money, no people bugging me route to homeschooling. But for us, I still want to have an overarching plan, not so much for myself, because I'm very happy to go on tangents with my kids. But if anyone ever checked up on me, child protection services or whatever, yeah. I want to be able to say, yeah, I've got a plan, right? Mm-hmm. Even if I don't stick to the plan. And nobody actually says you have to stick to the plan. Okay. This plan I think is quite doable. So I'm just going to, would it be okay, Elizabeth, if I just sort of read out the kinds of things that I would put in a sample of a school year outline?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So again, this is sample year, school year 2015-2016. So I've used fake names for my kids so that they don't feel like, Mom, why did you use my name? So I just sort of start off kind of writing a paragraph. Okay. There are several subjects we will study as a family this year. This year, we're going to study the Middle Ages. We will read several historical fiction set in the time period to foster our discussion and research. We will also be reading one Shakespeare play this year, Julius Caesar. We'll be using eyewitness books and World Book encyclopedias as the main text for this year's social studies. We will study astronomy together as a family, using primarily apology astronomy. Phys Ed as a family includes swimming, gym night, baseball and family walks, and bike rides. The boys play basketball and floor hockey weekly. All the children take music lessons, including daily practice. whoever requires math fact practices does this daily. We do speech arts and writing as a co-op. Some subject areas will be covered as a family and individually. So I'm just laying it out there. This is the overarching things we do together as a family, okay? And then I've broken it down to, okay, as well as that, we're going to do, each kid has their own things that they're going to do, okay? So besides what we learn together as a family for individual subjects, this is the breakdown of our learning plan. So Laurel is in grade one. She does language arts via dictation, focusing on reading and spelling. She does hands-on math, focusing on addition, subtraction, grouping, and measuring. We go on nature walks together for real-life science. Adam's in grade four, language arts via dictation, focusing on grammar. I introduce and practice a paragraph weekly. Math using teaching textbooks, French using Duolingo. Nicholas is in grade seven. He will do language arts via dictation, focusing on grammar, sentence structure, and spelling. These might be to some degree individually to these kids, things I feel they need work on. Right? Mm-hmm. Weekly paragraph, three five paragraph essays for the year. Math using teaching textbooks, apology of general science, and soccer. Isaiah is in grade nine, language arts. Weekly paragraph writing, four essays this year, including persuasive essay, independent reading, fiction and nonfiction, Behold Your Mother, Script 8 Letters, Men of Iron, The Hidden Treasure of Glaston. Math, Jacob's Algebra, science, apology of biology, cooking basics, and soccer. Ellen is in grade 12. She's doing language arts, essay writing, and world literature, which is a Seton course. Independent reading, one from each author, Jane Austen, Michael O'Brien, Carl Keating, C.S. Lewis. Math, Jacob's Geometry, second half continued from last year. Science, biology 2, apologia, domestic sciences, including cooking, baking, sewing, equine studies, pony husbandry, riding lessons, and theory. Okay, so, you know, it's pretty simple. It's only a page and a half long. Mm-hmm. I write what we do as a family together and what I hope to accomplish this year. And then I write the things that they do by themselves. Mm-hmm. Right. So that shouldn't overwhelm us, but I think that having a bit of a sample like that mm-hmm. is really helpful so that, you know, you have something to present. Right. So do you have any questions about that? Cause if you have questions, other people will too.
No, it sounded really simple. I get hung up on the, I guess the kind of the lawyer terminology, right? You know, it's the very...
Oh, in the original plan?
Yeah.
And we don't need to do that.
Yeah. So I was reading over that before tonight's podcast and I overwhelmed. I showed it to my husband and I said, if we had to do this, you would be doing it for me.
Yeah. Well, and the reality is that if whatever teacher is, or facilitator is part of your educational program, do you guys have that where you are? Is there a teacher? Okay. So if there's an expectation like this, there would always be some sort of facilitator or teacher. So a teacher who's going to do a good job of what they're doing is going to take that and say, let me break this down for you, mm-hmm. right? Let me unpack this for you so that it doesn't seem... because we shouldn't have to speak that language, right? That's Ministry of Education language, not homeschool mom language.
Right.
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 And we just shouldn't have to go there. So yeah. So unpacking it is really important. So, you know, turn to another mentor mom. I really recommend people having mentor moms who've been homeschooling for a while, because it's that kind of thing that they can say, oh, all this means is,
yeah.
right? And there's still expectations. You still have to fulfill them if you legally want to homeschool in your state or province,
right.
but don't get bogged down by it. Okay.
Yeah.
So the other sort of part of this question is like, okay, we have an overarching plan, but how do we take what we do and translate it into what they want to hear? Okay.
Right.
Again, the teacher applied to your program. If you're struggling with that, they should help you. But the ministry is also not going to have an expectation that you're going to produce a document for them in lawyer language,
right?
That you're going to, like what I just read out, you know, the plan is set out in simpler terms. But in terms of collecting the data, okay, so you've got this plan. Now, how do you let them know when it's reporting time what you did all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if a lot of your homeschooling is discussion based and sort of wonder-based and reading and research, which ours is. So how do you do that? So years ago, I sort of developed a system for myself that as my kids got older, I moved into just more of a bit of a checklist format. But when they were young, this was unbelievably helpful. And so what I'm going to show a thing again. So I've basically got the year's plan on a couple of pages at the very beginning of the do-a-ting, okay? So that it's just there to remind me of what I'm gonna do, and it's just convenient, okay? And then I've got these PDFs printed out, which each week looks like this, okay? And I'm gonna read this off for the benefit of listeners. So at the top of a two-page spread, it says this week. And then I say, don't forget to snuggle. A person could make one of these up. You can also get this. I have this on my Facebook page if somebody wants to use this one. So I have blocks of subject areas. So I have a block for social studies. And under that, history, geography, culture. I have language arts, vocabulary, spelling, skills. Field trips and activities, how we move. So what's our phys ed look like? Math goals, science notes. And then I have sort of a miscellanea box, art and music, books we read. And this two-page spread is really meant to be super simple for mums to just jot down in point form what they covered all week. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that, when I'm reading to my kids, this can just be sitting beside me. And as we're talking about different things, I can just jot them down as we go. Okay. Yeah. And the idea of that being able to jot things down in point form was just really, really helpful for me to think I didn't have to write out a paragraph describing what we did all week. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, I mean, now in these days, now I have a permanent record for this. Okay. So I'm going to print off enough of these that I can cover the year, right. Every week of the year.
Right.
But now I have something too that at the end of the year, I think, okay, this is what we did all year, mm-hmm. right? Some years are more spare than others, okay? What was I gonna say about this? Oh, now with phones and cameras on our phones, we could just take a snapshot of this. And if you have to submit every week, that's what you submit every week, a picture of this.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, if you're out doing an activity, take pictures of your kids with their phone, start a little file, pictures for my facilitator, my teacher, but make this, it's going to be your main picture of the year. This is of your week. This is what we accomplished this week. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, when you have opportunity, if you don't feel like you're accomplishing the things that they laid out for you to accomplish, you just go back to that list and, oh yeah, of course. Of course we did math. Of course we did social studies. Of course we did physical education, right? And you have a permanent record of it. So I think that that's a way of making all of this sort of as simple as possible, for moms and dads to be able to jot down what they do. And it's not a Monday to Friday thing. Right? Everything you do on the weekend has to go in there. Every activity your kids do, every book they read, mm-hmm. Gets jotted down on there, because it's all education, right? You can't separate real life from education.
Right.
So does that make sense to you what I was showing you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think even though my state, as far as I know, I have to recheck this year, but we aren't required to do stuff like that. But I feel like for my own organization and records, I might just do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nice part of it is that, if you ever got questioned, mm-hmm. there it is, right? You just pull out that one book, you save that book from every year, then you have that information accessible, right? Well, of course we did that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay, so then that might be a good segue into the next question. How do I transfer Socratic or discussion-based learning into a form or report or portfolio?
Right. Okay, so depending, of course, what your school wants, or what your state wants, rather, is in most cases, I think a snapshot of this is going to cover that. If they actually want you to write something out, you know, say you have to report weekly, then at the end, you could take a snapshot of this, or you could just take this and say, for math, we did X. For science, we did X. Now, if you're talking about things you did individually with your kids, because I kept that record on here as well, I just put their initials mm-hmm. beside the thing. So I've left the blocks, as you can see, the blocks are quite big so that I can, you know, say under math, I could write down each kid's initials, even though I had five kids on the sample sheet, I can write down the initials. This is what they did this week. You know, module one of teaching textbooks. That's all you need to do. And in terms of a portfolio, you know, take pictures of all of their work so that, you know, you have something to go along with just the written record of what they've done. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're only submitting, say quarterly or three times per year, then the easiest way to go about that is to have like a little, one of those little accordion folders, you know, file folders, and keep it somewhere with this in your toddler proof area of your house that we talked about last time. And just take one sample of, you know, their writing or journaling or dictation or whatever they've done, you know, and pop it in there so that you have something easy at the end of the quarter that you can hand in. Right.
Okay.
Now with phones, I think in most places, they're just allowing you to take a snapshot with your phone and submit it electronically.
Yeah.
But start a file instead of scrambling, you know, at the end of November or whenever it is you have to hand in your stuff, have a file in your photo album, mm-hmm. you know, just, say first quarter. And pop everything that you take a picture of, including your activities, their writing, whatever, and pop it in there so that you have a file. So if you don't need, if you can submit everything electronically and you don't need the actual paper file, mm-hmm. then make sure you have a file on your phone rather than scrambling through your phone and trying to find those things, because you know how it is. We can never find what we need to find.
Right.
Yeah. Something that may be helpful in terms of hard copies, but I always have a basket that we call the done basket. On my school shelf. And the idea of that is anything the kids have done, whether it's drawing, writing, a test they did, you know, a study guide, whatever, if it's something they've produced, it goes in that basket. And then at the end of the year, I just file through that and pick out that which I'd like to keep, you know, okay. so that I'm not keeping everything.
Right.
But I have a good selection of stuff.
Yeah. So by the end of the year, how big is that stack?
Well, you know, interestingly, as they get older, it's actually less, mm-hmm. right? Because they draw so much and they do a lot of art and do a lot of sort of, there's more sort of productivity where, you know, one essay for my kids, you know, say they do three essays in a year, that's the kind of thing that would go in there. And maybe their math book when they were finished, one notebook of math or one workbook of math, that would go in there. So yeah, it might be, you know, 3 or 4 inches thick at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, 80% of that's going to be recycled.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just keeping samples. If I'm keeping my kids writing, I've actually kept everything. I've kept their outline, their rough copy, their good copy. And, you know, and I staple that together so that, you know, we can see the whole package. When I actually go to keep something permanently, I'm probably not going to keep the rough copies. I'm just going to keep the typed out good copy in the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So when you were going over the IHIP, you listed, you know, what to cover between year one and six, right?
Yeah.
But when you're doing your plan for a year, how do you decide what to cover and what to maybe leave out for the following year?
Right. I would say leave out anything that stresses you out as the mom. Okay. And like, for example, second language is in there. When it says the way they've phrased it, most places don't require second language anymore, but I think the way they've phrased it is bilingual or ESL when necessary. So I'm assuming if you say lived in an area that was very strongly French Canadian or very strongly Hispanic, that it would, you know, there might be a reason, or if you're a family that's a blended family of languages, right? So one parent speaks English, one parent speaks Spanish or, you know, another language, mm-hmm. that then obviously, bilingual teaching is a really good idea. Mm-hmm. So anything like that, you know, most people would find in their first few years of homeschooling, they would think, okay, I don't want to do a second language. That sounds really stressful to me.
Right.
Until the child can sort of do it on their own. So I would say eliminate anything that stresses you out, and also eliminate anything that you think at this point in time your kids would be better off learning when they're a little bit older. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sort of doubling up on things. So say if grades 1 to 6 is the framework you're looking for. So wait until the oldest is in grade 6 to do US history so that you can capitalize on your, you know, your grade 4 and your grade 2 also doing US history,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you're probably going to repeat that at some point.
Right.
You know, history tends to cycle through, you know, you do it more than I've done most eras in history now, probably 5 or 6 times because we've been homeschooling for a long time, probably more. You know, so I'm just going to grab the list so I actually know. So, okay, well, of this list, what would I decide? I'm always going to do the basics. We're going to do arithmetic, reading, language arts. You know, geography is always going to be an innately natural thing if you have maps and atlases and globes in your home, mm-hmm. right? You're going to learn geography because you talk about places, right? So you don't have to do a geography course. You just learn geography because you talk in your family.
Right.
You know, but you utilize those tools so that geography learning actually happens. Mm-hmm. Health education, of course, you're going to do things with your kids that are healthy, and you're going to talk about it, why we eat healthy food and why we don't eat sugar and why we exercise. You know, you don't need to convince kids to exercise, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you find music stressful, leave it till they're older. Visual arts, of course, we're, you know, kids like to do art projects, right? So that's an easy thing. But if you're just starting out and you're trying to eliminate, just stick with the basics, you know, and, you know, art will come, right? Visual arts will come. That's something that, you know, your kids will be begging you to do painting or to do crafts or whatever, but you don't have to set up a separate program to do it. So do the basics and then pick one of those things off the list to do each year.
Okay.
You know, if you would consider it like enrichment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Do you think about more than 1 year at a time when you're planning?
Well, that's an interesting question because I never really have. Mm-hmm. I just do 1 year at a time. Now I might be thinking as my kids are approaching high school, we might be having some discussion about, okay, well, you know, you have to have a grade 11 algebra, but you could split that over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more sort of individual, right? You could split it over 2 years if you're feeling like your course load is heavy, or you could, you know, just power through it in 6 months and get it out of the way, but you'd have to put a lot more time in, you know, that kind of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, no, I've only talked about 1 year at a time. Now I'm right down to the wire in our homeschooling. We have 3 years left. Lydia has 10, 11 and 12 left. And I was telling her that when I entered high school, we actually planned out all our high school years at the beginning of our high school. So I love doing that because all the things I didn't really want to do, I just did them in the first semester and got them out of the way.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my high school was just so much fun because it was all things I loved to do.
Yeah.
And she said, I kind of would like to plan out my high school years. And so we just did that yesterday. We sat out in the grass and we talked about, you know, what we'd like to do and the different aspects of history we'd like to address. And so it's funny that you would ask that question because, you know, I've never done that before. And we just thought, you know what, let's go out with a bang. We really want to, these are the things. And you're the only one that has the decisions to make, you know, it's not like somebody else is saying, oh, but I'd rather do this, right? She's the last child. So
wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Actually, fun. We've started planning for this next year. And I told my husband that I want my oldest to kind of be a part of the tail end of the planning, you know, like there's the non-negotiables, if you will. But then, you know, I've been trying to ask him what he's interested in learning more about and studying. And he told me today, he goes, planting a cherry tree. And I was like, okay, Liam, we can do that. but that's going to take like a day, you know, and then it's just the upkeep of trying to water and maintain, right? But I'm talking about like, what do you want to learn about?
Yeah. He's thinking narrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's great. No, we, and the other thing I should sort of add in this sort of discussion is at the end of the year, I almost always sort of do a little list where I take stock of kind of where everybody's at, mm-hmm. you know, like so-and-so learned to read this year, so-and-so learned their times tables up to 10, so-and-so, you know, these were all the books we read. I actually, you know, I write down all the books we read in my sort of weekly thing. And at the end of the year, I sort of just take stock about what we actually accomplished. And it may or may not line up with the original plan. Mm-hmm. Right. But what the education system, years ago, the education system used to lay out what a person should know in each grade. Mm-hmm. Right. Which, of course, especially for young kids, it's really hard to determine what somebody's going to know. People learn at their own pace and you can't stuff learning in there. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe you studied, you know, I don't know, biology, and one kid in the class got a D and another kid in class got an A plus. Well, obviously, you know, the A plus kid knows a lot more. Right. And so now everything is based on outcome. Like this is what we are going to approach, but how they actually do in it mm-hmm. is kind of irrelevant.
Right.
Right. Which, you know, from a homeschool perspective, that's a great thing because, you know, we know that our kids learn at their own pace and we just work with them where they're at and we work towards mastery and everything. And so we allow them to master what they're able to at 7. And then again, we revisit that at, you know, 9 or 10 or 11 and they master to the ability that they're able to at that age, you know, so it's kind of a good idea. I mean, I think in the school system, it means a lot of kids sort of fall through the cracks. But in terms of homeschooling, that's, you know, that is what we do anyway.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Okay. That's actually all the questions.
Okay.
So
I probably would like to mention before we wrap up is that, if anybody really is struggling with their learning plan and this is all new to them and you don't have anybody you can ask, if you want to ask me about that, if you just message me via my Facebook page or Instagram or whatever, you know, if you want me to sort of unpack something for you, if it looks challenging and you don't have someone else to turn to, please do that because it's not a hard thing to do. We could read through it in 5 or 10 minutes and probably have a pretty good sense of where this needs to go, right?
Yeah.
You know, so just to let people know that if you have questions or if there's questions that spin off of this particular episode, you can contact me via my Facebook page, Make Joy Normal, via my website, which has my contact info on it, my email address, or Instagram. Also, you can message me via Instagram. And we really appreciate getting your questions. It's really been fun for us. So is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.